said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, search and you will find, knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So we pray that God may open our hearts to his word and his word to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please do sit down. One of the things that I've been doing for the last 3 months, along with Archdeacon Megan and Terry Bloor, our Associate Archdeacon, is visiting all the clergy in this area to see how they're getting on in the light of the COVID pandemic. Obviously, it's been a tough time for everyone. Now, I'm not the only one who has this interest. I've been keen to ask how the pandemic has affected their prayer life, how the pandemic might have affected the way they pray. And others have asked the same question. I noticed a recent report, 2 researchers for the York St. John's University asked a sample of about 2,000 Anglicans in England questions about the impact of COVID on their physical, mental, and spiritual health. And the results are quite interesting. While 17% said that their personal prayer life had decreased, and 35% said it was much the same as it was before the pandemic, 48%, nearly half those sampled, reported that they had prayed more during the pandemic. And similar results were reported when asked about the quality of their spiritual life, their trust in God, and their spiritual health. Well, I wonder how it was for you. Both our readings this morning, it seems to me, direct us to the subject of prayer. I want to focus on this morning that passage from Colossians chapter 2, which we heard as our first reading, and especially on prayer as thankfulness. But we do need, first of all, to remind ourselves of that question that Jesus' disciples asked of him, their rabbi. "Lord," they said, "teach us to pray." And Jesus' answer was, of course, what we now call the Lord's Prayer. So familiar, so fundamental to who we are as Christians. Jesus gives his disciples then and now that pattern of prayer to sustain and guide them as they practice the presence of God. And we sometimes believe, don't we, that prayer will come to us naturally. We don't need to be taught. Well, sometimes it does. Sometimes prayer will bubble up quite naturally, like a spring within us. But prayer is also a discipline. It's something we can be taught, something we can learn. We can learn to pray as Jesus teaches us, as the Holy Spirit guides us, as the Scriptures direct us. So we shouldn't be too romantic about prayer. In this sense, prayer is like any other form of communication within a relationship. Sometimes it will be the spontaneous outpouring of the heart. Sometimes it's something we need to work at and think about, something we could learn to do better. In the passage from Colossians, Paul talks about the relationship the believer has with Jesus. We are to live our lives in Him, which might be almost a good working definition of prayer. Prayer is living our lives in Christ. That may take different forms, of course. We live our lives in Christ when we serve our neighbours. We live our lives in Christ when we come together as God's people, in fellowship and in worship. But perhaps the most intimate, direct way in which we live our lives in Christ is through our prayers. Through prayer, our relationship with Jesus is nourished and deepened. Sometimes that prayer flows naturally. Sometimes we will need to work at it, stick with it. So what does it look like for the Christian, this living of our lives in Christ? Paul gives us two strong images to ponder. He talks about roots and he talks about buildings. We are to be rooted in Christ and built up in Him. To be rooted is, of course, an image from the garden. We draw life and sustenance for our souls by sending down roots into the life of God in Christ. It's a kind of organic image, a little like the picture of the vine and the branches in the Gospel of John. To live in Christ is to abide in Him, allow His life to give us life. The second image is not from the garden, but from architecture or the building site. We are to be built up in Him. Again, we're familiar with similar pictures from elsewhere in the New Testament. Think about the wise man building his house upon the rock. Christ as the sure foundation upon which we find true hope and lasting security. We're invited to build on strong and lasting foundations. The life of the Christian, then, is rooted in fertile soil and built on the unshakable foundation of God's love and kindness as revealed in Jesus Christ. It's through prayer that we will know ourselves to be rooted and built up in the Lord. So to be rooted and grounded means, says Paul, that we'll be strengthened in the faith as we were taught, and overflowing, he says, with thankfulness. And it's that last aspect of our life in Christ I want to think about particularly this morning. The importance of prayer as thankfulness. Sometimes we forget to be grateful. We forget to give thanks. But perhaps thanksgiving is particularly important in these turbulent times. Thankfulness is both the natural response to God's goodness, and it is also the discipline of numbering the reasons we have to be grateful to God. Count your blessings, as we used to say. And it is one of those great prayers of thanksgiving, Psalm 103, that we're invited to praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives you your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. We are invited quite deliberately to sit down and to remember all that God has done for us and not to forget His benefits, and in so doing, to overflow with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving that we've been healed, forgiven, and saved. So what are we thankful for? What are the benefits that we are to give thanks for in our prayers? In our reading from Colossians, those benefits are very similar to those we find in Psalm 103. It is freedom, it's forgiveness, and it's victory. We overflow with thanks because in Christ we have fullness of life. In Jesus we're told the fullness of God dwells. And because we live in Christ, we share in the fullness of the divine life. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly, says Jesus in John's Gospel. And when we enter into this relationship with Jesus, we enter into the fullness of the life of God. It's an extraordinary thing to contemplate. So often we have our heads down, don't we, dealing with the 101 things that come our way in life. You know, the stuff that needs doing, the meals that need cooking, the lawns that need mowing, the emails that must be answered. And so we forget. We forget that we are in Christ Jesus. That we have access to the divine life in all its fullness. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, that is what I call a benefit. A million times better than universal credit. The ultimate universal credit. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. We overflow with thankfulness because of our baptism. I wonder whether you ever stop to thank God for your baptism. Not just the ceremony of baptism, which you might have had as a child or later as a young person or adult, but thank God for what it means. It is by our baptism that we enter into this fullness of life in Christ. So Paul says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. We share in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. In baptism, we die to sin, we rise again to eternal life. Baptism is the benefit that unlocks this new life in Christ. Through baptism, we're brought into a new relationship with God, and we are made alive with Christ. And for this, of course, we give prayerful thanks. We overflow with thankfulness. We overflow with thankfulness because of the fullness of life that, to which we have access, to the baptism into which we have been baptized. And through this new relationship, this fullness of life, we experience victory. So there's victory over the power of sin. We are forgiven. God forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, says Paul. He's taken it away, nailing it to the cross. This is why we give thanks. Think of the ways in which our sin and shame drag us down, spoil our relationship with others and with God, and then hear these words: they're cancelled, taken away, nailed to the cross. In Jesus, we're set free, we're forgiven, slate wiped clean, charge sheet taken from us and nailed to the cross of Jesus, where it is paid and dealt with forever. That's forgiveness and freedom and hope and fullness of life. Forget not all his benefits. Amidst all the struggles and the darkness and the pain and the busyness of life, and goodness knows there's plenty of all that, these benefits we must never forget. Daily, we let God teach us of his goodness towards us, and our hearts should overflow with thankfulness. So there is a work for us to do. We are to take time to prayerfully remember, to remember that we live our lives in Christ, to remember that in our baptism we have that fullness of life and that our sins are forgiven, to remember that in Christ we have the victory. We forget not all his benefits. It's a work to do because we can be forgetful. We can be negligent in our recollection of God's love towards us. It is in the prayerful act of remembering that we find ourselves overflowing with prayerful thankfulness. And our faith is strengthened. And we go more deeply into the life of God in Christ Jesus. That we are ever more rooted and built up in him. Amen.